Earl and the Turtle. In a village far away from here, in a time long ago, the people were happy, they worked the farms, they went to school, and all was peace and calm. In late fall one year, however, there was a terrific storm. The earth shook, clouds were dark, the rain was mixed with snow and pelted small bits of ice. The villagers had never seen such a dark storm, nor one that had come so suddenly. It came from the north, and it swept in on what was otherwise a quiet fall day. They huddled in their houses, and they waited for the darkness to pass, the rain to cease, and the ice to stop falling. But the next day, when the sky had cleared and the storm was over, a shepherd came to the village and said that not far away, a cave in the mountain that used to be empty now had something in it. And he said, looking around, it was something big and it was something dark. The villagers talked among themselves and decided it must be wolves. And so they sent a party of brave men up to the mountain to investigate. They had had wolves before, but they had gotten rid of them because they ate all the sheep. And they certainly didn't want the wolves now because they had many sheep and they didn't want to lose any of them. But when they arrived at the mouth of the cave, instead of finding a house of wolves, they listened at the edge and they heard a sound that was not the sound of a wolf, a deeper sound though. And furthermore, they noticed that at the top of the cave, there was smoke. Wolves didn't start fires, they said. And it didn't sound like there were a pack of wolves. In fact, it sounded like there was just one animal, and it seemed like a large one. They looked among themselves, and the leader said, "We'll have to go in. We'll have to take a look." So they looked at themselves, and they were brave men, and one in particular was particularly brave. And he volunteered, and then he went in. The rest waited, and all of a sudden, they hear a roar and shouting. And they heard their man say something, but they couldn't quite hear what it was. And then a burst of flame, like water from a fire hose, came out of the cave. It was liquid fire that was coming out, as best they could see. And on that hot breath came the jacket of the man that had gone in. It was scorched. It was burnt, and there was no man in it. The village men looked at one another, and then they understood. They didn't have wolves at the village now. They had a dragon, and he was in the cave, and a dragon had come to the village. The men went back and tried to decide what to do. At first, they thought, maybe the dragon will move on. Maybe he's just flying south for the winter. It must have come with the storm, chased downward by the harsh weather. But the village was pleasant, and the valley was green, and there was plenty to eat, and the dragon stayed. And the problem with the dragon is that dragons are hungry, and they like meat. And so at first the village watched for the dragon, but it would only come out at night, and then it would eat sheep. Lots of sheep. But either it got larger, or it got more confident, or it got hungrier. And it wasn't long before the dragon was flying during the day. It was a large creature. It was green, with wings as long as trees, a head as big as a wagon, and a tail that would fill up a creek. It was long. It was sinuous. And twirling. "We've got to get rid of this dragon," said the leader. "It's eating too much." So in order to keep the dragon from eating up the countryside, the village decided that they would have to feed the dragon in the hopes that it would stay near its cave. So they would take a cow every week to the mouth of the cave where the dragon, they sensed, would be watching deep inside. They could see the smoke coming out of the cave, drifting along the top. And if they stared into the cave, then when their eyes adjusted, they could see dull red eyes looking out. They would tie the cow to a stake and then move back and wait. The dragon, after a while, would come out. There would be a burst of flame. It would cook the cow, and with two bites, it ate it. This seemed to satisfy the dragon. Although, every once in a while, maybe on a holiday, the dragon would come out and burn up a farm or two. Of course, there were brave men in the village that came along and volunteered to kill the dragon, and men and people would follow him, stay away at a safe distance, and watch as this brave soldier dressed in armor would bang on his shield with his sword and shout out, tell the dragon to come out. And then the dragon would come out. And then there would appear to be a fight where the man would approach the dragon, but before he could get close enough to hit him with his sword, there was that liquid flame that would come from the dragon's mouth, and the man would be burnt to a crisp, his armor acting as if he was a broiler for the man inside. Another brave man down. Years passed, and the village got accustomed to taking the cows up to the dragon and put up with his marauding. And the knights would come to the village, and they would hope that the dragon wouldn't appear. And they all hoped that they could find a weakness for the dragon, and that they would be able to get rid of it. But though brave men came and went, most of them stopped coming when one after another was burnt to a crisp. Now in the village, there was a boy. In fact, he was the son of the man who first went into the cave to find out what was inside. You know, the man that was burnt up by the dragon to start with. And this boy was determined that the dragon should not stay in his village. And when he got strong enough, he would fight him. So he would tell his friends, and his friends would tell their parents about his expectation to go challenge the dragon and rid the village of this beast. And the parents would shake their heads and say, no, that won't happen. And this boy's name was Earl Shope. And Earl was convinced that he would be able to beat the dragon. No, his friends said, echoing their parents, you can't beat that dragon, Earl. Men have come every year, and every year they go up and pound on their shields with their sword and shake and rage at the dragon. And then the dragon eventually comes out, and the fight is very short. And mostly the men last only a few minutes before they're burnt up by the liquid fire. Earl said, no, I've seen that. That's not the right way to fight him. And what is the right way? Said the friends to Earl. He said, I don't know yet, but I'll find a way. That dragon won't last. One day, when Earl was out walking through the woods, he came across a stream, and on the edge of the stream was a turtle. And the turtle was moving along, and Earl didn't see the turtle at first because the turtle looked just like the edge of the stream bank. It was green grass, and the turtle was green, and the turtle, when it came along, stopped. So, for example, a hawk flew overhead. And when the hawk flew overhead looking to pick up some food, the turtle stopped, pulled its head in, and suddenly it looked like the grass. And the hawk flew over, never seeing the turtle. And then out popped the head of the turtle and continued to walk along the stream. And Earl got an idea. Earl went back to his village, and he explained what he was thinking. And some of the men shook their head and said it was foolish. And some of the men nodded and thought it might be possible, but it would take a brave person indeed to go up against the dragon. But nevertheless, Earl was inspired. So he had his mother create a gray cape. It was a large gray cape, and it was modeled in different colors, some browns and some grays. And with his cape, Earl every day practiced with his sword, swinging it left, swinging it right, swinging it up, swinging it down. The sword was heavy and his arm was tired, and sometimes he had to use two hands. But every day he would practice, and every day he'd get a little stronger, and every day he always wore his cape. And he practiced jumping up and crouching down, jumping up and crouching down. And with his sword, he would work it left and he would work it right. He'd work it down and he would work it up. And every day he got stronger. His arms got stronger. His legs got stronger. His back got stronger. And while he thought about what he would do, his plan became clearer. And Earl became certain of what he would do. One day, it was spring now, the dragon had been there for several years, and the village was getting ready to take another cow up to the dragon to keep him happy. And Earl said that he would take the cow. And so with some of his friends, they took the harness of the cow, and Earl this time put on his gray cape with the brown spots, and he strapped on his sword that had once been very heavy for him to lift, but now was light as a feather. They walked the cow up, not too far from where they could see the entrance to the cave and the smoke rising up out of it with the dragon inside. And if you looked from a distance, you could see into the cave and you could see the dull red eyes looking out, waiting. The boys pulled the cow towards the stake where he was to be tied up, and Earl was with them, with his cape on. And as they tie the cow up, Earl steps off to one side. And as the cow is moved around and steps in front of him, Earl moves again a little further off to the side. And then one of the other boys says something and makes him shouting away from where Earl is. And when that happens, and Earl, who's watching into the cave, sees the red eyes move slowly over towards the boy shouting. At that point, Earl wraps the cape around him and he falls to the ground. He covers himself with the cape and he thinks about the turtle. And the cape, which is a big cape, falls to the ground around him, covers him completely, and the edge of it lingers on the ground in the dirt. And the gray dirt and the gray cape with brown spots merge, and it is as if Earl has disappeared. Now, once where there was a tall boy, there's a boulder. And not far away, there's a cow. And the screaming of the boys shout as they tell the dragon the cow is there and he's to come out. And they rush back and they wait. There was a rumbling inside the cave. The dragon, hungry, waiting for the cow, had gotten up. It stuck its head out. It sees the cow. It sees the boys in the distance. And as it looks at the cow, a jet of liquid fire surges out of its mouth and hits the cow and turns it into barbecue. Earl, under his cape, not too far away, feels the heat and hears the cooking. And he hears the boys, his friends, who are back behind the trees shouting at the dragon. And he can feel the ground shake as the feet of the dragon come out of the cave towards the barbecue. Step by step, the dragon gets closer. And just under the edge of the cape, Earl can see the huge feet, claws 8 inches long, like knives, coming out and digging into the earth. As the dragon gets closer to where the barbecue is, he hears the dragon reach out and grab it with its mouth. And now the dragon's feet are very close. Earl can almost touch the claws. The dragon is eating the barbecue and is enjoying its first good dinner it's had in a week. And then, as the dragon is looking at the boys in the woods, thinking that maybe he wants a little dessert of a boy, for example, a rock at the dragon's feet suddenly disappears, and in its place is a boy, Earl Shope. The dragon's confused by this, and its mouth is full, and suddenly Earl Shope has turned from a rock into a warrior, and in his arms is a sharp blade, its vorpal edge whispering quickly through the air. And knick-knack, Earl with his sword stabs at the dragon. And the dragon wants to shoot liquid fire all over Earl, but its mouth is full of barbecue. And Earl is too close. He's right next to him. No one has gotten so close to the dragon ever before, because everyone has been burnt up by the liquid fire before they have a chance to get close. But Earl is right there. And the sword is whirling like the blades of a fan. And the dragon is confused. He's never seen a rock turn into a man. And Earl's strong arms are using the sword as it slashes across the belly of the dragon back and forth, cutting the dragon to pieces. And before anybody can say anything, the dragon's dead. And Earl is standing next to it, looking at the huge green beast, dead at his feet. Earl Shope is a hero. The village celebrated his victory, and Earl went back home, and he was always given free barbecue. He also went back to the creek, and he fed that green turtle some carrots, because it was the turtle that had given him the idea. And the village was very happy with them both.